See, the people are finally at the end of a long journey, a journey that has taken hundreds of years, really. It began when they went into Egypt, and while they were in Egypt, they became slaves of the Pharaoh there. Then God rescued them out of slavery, out of Egypt. It continued as they went into the Sinai Peninsula and wandered about the wilderness for 40 years. And then God took them from the wilderness and brought them into the Promised Land, where there was all sorts of enemies waiting for them. And after a long conquest, Joshua, who is at the end of his life, is now giving his final sermon to the people. And he's recapping all the events, all the things that God has done for them throughout their history. And hopefully you caught on to it. I was trying to emphasize the I part of all these passages here. How God consistently tells them, I rescued you. I brought you out of slavery. I fought for you. I gave you this land. I brought you into these cities and where there's vineyards and there's olives all over the place. I gave it all to you. And the point of Joshua's message is that their whole history as a people is filled with the grace and mercy of God. What he is constantly doing and giving for them. Their history, you cannot remove God's action from their own history. He has been there with them every step of the way. We too have our history with God. For many of us, if not most of us, our history starts when we were baptized and brought before the Lord. And in baptism received the promises that God won for us in his cross and in his resurrection. Where you were called child of God, where you were proclaimed to be a one of God's own, where you are invited into the family of the Lord. And many of us too, if we look throughout our own lives and our stories, we might look and we see what God has done for us through our lives. How maybe God brought a specific person, our spouse, into our lives. How maybe you can look in the past and see, oh yeah, God was with me when I was during that period in high school, or during that sickness, or during that sorrowful time. You can look through, many of you, through your histories and see how God was part of your story. This is what Joshua is doing for his people in this sermon. He's calling them to look and remember how God has been with them every step of the way. And so then at the end of his sermon, Joshua issues a call to the people, and you probably know this verse, the end of this passage that I read, because it's probably, for many of you maybe, it's on some poster that's in your house or some piece of artwork. I know we got a piece of artwork from our realtor. I think after we sold our house, she gave us this. It's that passage from Joshua, the most famous one from Joshua, where it says, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua says at the end of this. He gives a call to his people for them to be faithful to the God who has been so ever faithful to them. He's lined it all out for them. The evidence is there. God has done this for you. Many of them have, they've all had parents and grandparents who experienced all these wonders of God. They have eaten God's food that he gave them in the wilderness. They have fought in the army that God watched over as they took over this promised land. They have seen the miracles of God. And so he calls them, be faithful to the Lord who has been so faithful to you. Worship the Lord. Obey him. And then he tells them something that seems kind of strange, because it doesn't seem like it should be this way. He tells them, cast away, get rid of the idols. The idols that your ancestors had, the idols that you picked up in Egypt. Get rid of these false gods. It seems strange, doesn't it? That these people who have experienced and seen so much still have false gods nestled within their hearts, taking a place of and owning some of the trust and the obedience and the faith that belongs to the Lord who has done so much for them. So Joshua gives them this kind of blatant kind of statement that just really should seem ridiculous to them, because he's lined it out for them. This is what God has done for you. Worship the Lord. If you are unhappy with what God has done for you, or as other translations might say, if you see what God has done for you as evil, then here's your choices. You can worship the gods of your ancestors, the gods that God called Abraham away from, or you can worship the gods of the Amorites, the very people that the Lord your God just conquered. That's your choices. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knows his people. He knows that they still, after all this time, still have other gods, other things, idols, nestled away in their hearts, stealing away some of the trust that belongs to the one true God. Our Lord is a jealous God. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. God is jealous. He is obsessive about us. And it almost seems unfair. But these commandments are given to us because we need them. Because any other God other than the one true God is going to lead to disappointment. It's going to fail us. It's going to lead to falsehood and ultimately to our own destruction. What other gods do you have nestled in your own heart? When you carry your platter of trust and hope and service and worship, does all that go to the Lord and the Lord only? Or do we reserve some for some other God? Have you found the God of your baptism to be missing in some cases? Have the benefits of hope, forgiveness, and salvation, and the abiding presence of God through His Holy Spirit, are they not quite enough sometimes? If so, then choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the God of health, hoping and praying that you will have mental health throughout your life, that you'll be stable in all things, that cancer will ignore you and your family, that your name will never appear in our growing list of names in our church bulletin? Will you just kind of push aside the fact that very likely, in fact, 100% likely, you're going to wind up lying on your back in a casket right up here? Will you serve the God of health? Or would you rather serve the God of security, bringing your hard work and the sacrifices of labor onto some altar somewhere, hoping that this God with a lowercase g will be honored by the hard work and the labor that you've brought before Him, and so bless you then with food and a warm and cozy home that you would never have to worry about some disaster taking your home in a fire or something like that, or a day where you just might not have enough to eat? That maybe you won't ever have to worry about finding a job, that you are going to be protected and watched over when it comes to economic hardship? Will you serve the God of security? If the one true God is somehow inadequate for you, there's no shortage of other gods to serve. There's the God of popularity, the God of independence, strength, the God of pleasure, the God of morality. Do you worship this God who you think, if I do everything the right way, if I treat people well, if I don't swear and just do the right things, that then this God will watch out for me? There's no shortage of gods. But as Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. For Joshua, it's not even a choice. The choosing part of this verse isn't about choosing to worship God. It's about, okay, if you reject God, then choose from the smorgasbord of all these other false deities. Here's what you have to go by. For Joshua, it's not a choice, because God has done so much for him. The grace, the mercy, the presence of God has been there from the very beginning. How can I do otherwise? There's too much to ignore. The Lord has done the same for you. There is too much to ignore. Sure, there are times when we feel like God might not be there, or that we're being ignored. And at those times, we need to come and seek the Lord and ask others to seek the Lord even on our behalf. But the Lord has called you to faith in Him. He has bestowed upon you the full reward, the full benefits of what He has won for you in the cross. He's given those to you in baptism and in the preaching and reading of the Word, and today we receive it in the Holy Supper. So choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray.